Okay, everyone, we are being recorded finally. Apparently they changed the code arbitrarily at conference call instead of us changing it, so now we know what the new one is. Thank you for your patience. For those of you who are just tuning in to the recording, we apologize you missed a few minutes of our call. I just shared from Gehiel Gibran's writing, The Prophet, his section on page 29 about joy and sorrow and the fact that they're inseparable. If you have this book, if you don't, you may want to pick it up. This is just a wonderful book on this topic. And he makes this comment, one of my favorite sentences in all of literature. The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. And one of the great secrets of success is that challenges are part of the process. And for those of you who've heard this, bear with me while I repeat it. For those who are going to be listening to this on a recording, which we have hundreds of people listen to it during the week, so it's important that we share this with them, that when we engage in fantasy, we go into the future to a time when something's already been accomplished, and we start living out those very vivid scenarios of what it's like, our secret desire, our real intention behind that activity is wanting to skip all the sorrow, to skip all the challenges and the frustrations, to skip all of the stress, if you will, and the pain. We just want life to be comfortable and easy. And as Og tells us, as Gehiel Gibran tells us, no such place exists. It's not an option. In Scroll 10, Og even talks about this. He says, help me to remain humble through obstacles and failures, yet hide not from mine eyes the prize that will come with victory. Assign me tasks which others have failed, yet guide me to pluck the seeds of success from their failures. Comfort me with fear, confront me with fears that will temper my spirit. It endow me with courage to laugh at my misgivings. This is such an interesting piece when he's saying, why would I want to do this? In Scroll 2, he talks more about this. I just turn to that scroll in the very beginning when he says, just talk about how I can love, how I can step into a person's world and better understand what they're going through. How can I have empathy, stand on someone's path and see their pain? He says, how will I do this? Well, henceforth, I will look on all things with love. It's agape love, a heightened level of awareness. And I'll be born again. I will look at my challenges differently. I will look at my joy differently. Then he gives us all these contrasts between joy and sorrow. He says, I will love the sun, for it warms my bones. Yet I'll love the rain, for it cleanses my spirit. I will love the light, for it shows me the way. Yet I'll love the darkness, for it shows me the stars, those things that get hidden by the sunlight of success. I will welcome happiness, for it enlarges my heart. Yet I will endure sadness, for it opens my soul. We harrow it out so it can contain even more joy. I will acknowledge rewards, for they are my due. Yet I will welcome obstacles, for they are my challenge. I will greet this day with love in my heart, which means agape love, that heightened level of awareness. And we might say, but I really welcome obstacles. What is he talking about? And he's saying that they're just part of life. They are going to happen. You might be in the middle of one right now. You might have had one last week. You probably are going to have one coming in the weeks ahead. It's just part of the process. It's part of this laboratory of life. The question becomes, to find joy in the journey isn't to have a life without challenges. It's having a life in which we view challenges differently. Everybody have that tonight? It's not a life without challenges. It's a life in which we view our challenges differently. Now, agape love, this heightened level of awareness, asks us to look at this challenge and embrace it. Because if we're in resistance and resentment and frustration. We can't be finding any joy. But if we'll learn from it, say, what can I learn from this? How can I take this on and learn a great lesson from it that'll bless my life and the lives of others? Well, that's a very heightened level of awareness. How can I show up in my pain in a way that I'll inspire others who may be in pain to be more courageous? That's even a higher level of awareness. And lastly, how can I learn from this experience and then use that experience to bless the life of another person, to better understand what they're going through? The ultimate level of awareness. That's the ultimate level of agape. It's charity. God, it's the ability to step back and see it for what it truly is. Now, it's easy for me to have this conversation, to share this with you. It's not easy for any of us when we're in the middle of one of those moments. Oops, we got a lot of noise going on in the background. If you're moving things around, could you just press *6 on your phone, and that'll mute your phone for us? That would be appreciated. Thank you. So the first question in Joy in the Journey is, how are we addressing the challenges when they come? I've talked about my good friend Chad Hymas. Chad Hymas is quadriplegic. Takes him an hour and a half to dress in the morning. Takes him an hour to shave, yes. He holds things in his hands so he can hold things. He can't feel his fingers. His hands just naturally kind of grip. So he has this little tool he puts in his hand that's got a hook on it. And he pulls the buttons through the buttonholes with that hook. Quite remarkable. Delivers 300 speeches a year. Travels alone almost all the time by himself. I've traveled with him, and I've never heard him complain about anything. And I've seen him have to deal with some very private issues. He has to have nursing care every 48 hours, no matter where he is. And he misses a flight. Something gets delayed. The whole world has to kind of come together to make things happen, so he's okay. Never, never a negative thought. So gracious, so kind, so thoughtful. A man who has embraced that obstacle and uses it to bless the lives of others. I have watched him roll onto a stage in his wheelchair and see the rowdiest crowd just go absolutely silent and have him hold them in the palm of his hand and say things about life that very few people could get away with, but he can. So he uses his obstacle, his challenge, the loss of his limbs, to bless the lives of tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people. What an amazing human being. That is a key piece of enjoying the journey. That's one. Number two, we have a tendency when things aren't going the way we want them to wish that things were different. And we start questioning, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something else with my life? Maybe a different career path, different job, different something. And we can often look beyond the mark. A lot of people will move to the darkest parts of Africa or South America and take on a vow of poverty and try to help people. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what are they running from? Is there ever something they're running from? Is it a relationship they're uncomfortable with, a career or the responsibilities of life? What is the true motive for going? If it's truly to go give service, then go service. Give service, then come back home and give service. The second piece in this joy in the journey is this. If you just write this down, it has less to do with what I do and more to do with how I do it. It has less to do with what I do than how I do it. In other words, if we took a look around us and we brought the principle of intrinsic validation and we stepped into people's worlds and we listened, we asked empathetic questions, we took down walls of resistance, we helped people feel understood, we watched their cooperation, productivity released, and we're the beneficiaries of it, the joy we feel from having provided that service. If we use our mind constructively and we're seeking inspiration, we get an inspired idea to call someone, and we do. And we find out they needed us right there in that moment. I had the strangest experience today. I've walked out of my office a number of times to go someplace. I walk upstairs when I go, and I was walking up the stairs, and every time I went to walk up those stairs, a person's name came into my mind today. Every single time. And then I got tied up, busy, and I got back in the office, and I was doing my next coaching session, and then I'd have the experience over again. It happened at least three times today. And I kept that name on my mind when I came back into my office, and I sat down and wrote that person the email, because that's the impression. You need to send them an email about this very specific topic. This is someone I'd done an assessment on last week. Tender moment. I was just checking in with them. And I got an email back almost instantly. I mean, I pushed send, and it wasn't 10 minutes later that this email came back that was so precious and so important for a variety of reasons, which I won't go into because it's confidential for their life. But we want to pay attention to these pieces. We don't need to be creating world peace. We can be getting an inspired idea to talk to a grandchild or one of our children or say something different to our spouse or create something for a significant other or a good friend or a coworker. It can happen right where we are. So it has less to do with what we're doing and more to do with how we're doing it. Now, that doesn't mean we're in perfect circumstances. Doesn't even mean we're in good circumstances. If you're in an abusive relationship, for an example, none of what I'm saying applies. I would encourage you with all my heart to seek assistance from a therapist, a clergyman, counselor, police officer, whatever it might be. Get that assistance immediately. But if that isn't the case, if we're just, oh, it's boring, well, then let us show up differently. Because it's not just the job, it's the way we show up in the job. It's not just what we're doing. It's how we're choosing to do it. The second piece of joy in the journey. The third piece tonight. And that is that we're often looking for another job. And it's not just do it differently. It's to look at it differently. Now, some of you may be in situations where you might need to make a change. But that's not always the case. What would happen if you showed up differently in terms of bringing all of your ability? And we stopped thinking in terms of all I'm getting paid is. And instead of doing work based on compensation, we chose to bring our natural genius. We chose to be real and genuine and authentic. We bring our ability to have those relationships I talked about a moment ago. But we also bring our natural genius to see possibilities. Okay, so they're not paying us for that. When I'm talking to employers all the time, it's, you know, they only see as far as they need to. When it's so obvious and they don't pay attention to that. Why is that? I say, isn't that a sad indictment of America? That we only go through the motions. We show up at 8, we have lunch, we come home, we go through the motions. We don't produce because they don't notice us or care about us. Maybe they don't pay us enough, whatever it might be. And the only person getting robbed in that equation, the only person who's getting robbed is your self-esteem. Because it takes more energy to play half speed than it takes to go full speed. We have to intentionally hold ourselves back, and that's exhausting. We're going to want to unleash wherever we are. Because when we unleash, we are spending time with our true self. We talked about procrastination a couple of weeks ago, that when we finally jump in, we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? Because what we're doing is finally shutting off the noise in our head and embracing our natural genius. We're going to want to do that in everything we do. Not because we're getting paid for it, because we want to spend time with us, our true self. That is healing of our self-esteem. And when we do, we're given more ability. When we do, people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. Doors of opportunity open. And they could be opening in our workplace. We may discover the reason why some of those things haven't happened is because we haven't shown up. We're expecting to be recognized. And on the other hand, the people on the other side of that equation are waiting for us to show up. That's possible. If not, you will hone your skills, and no one ever wastes their time perfecting their skills and exercising their ability. There might be a day when you'll back and say, wow, they got a whole lot more than they paid for. But you'll be getting what you got because you were willing to do it. It's never missed. The cream always does rise to the top. And those who hold back intentionally always pay a dear price for it. So take a look at that as a third piece. Am I holding back anything? That's in a relationship. That's in a job or career path. Am I holding anything back? And who's ultimately paying the price for that? Am I punishing them or am I punishing myself? And I would submit to you that joy in the journey gets gravely impacted when we hold back. The last piece for tonight, and we've talked about this before, however, it is an ongoing, continuous decision. It would be wonderful if it were one time and it were done. If that were possible, it would be incredible, but it's just not possible. And that's when we hold this clay in our hands and we look at the clay we've been given. And there's way too often that we don't like our clay. We don't like our financial situation. We don't like our physical appearance. We don't like our relationships. We don't like our educational status, our credentials. There's all kinds of things we don't like. And so instead of embracing our clay and owning it, we're looking at her clay and his clay and another person's clay, and we are wishing our life were different than it is, and we can spend an inordinate amount of time wishing it were different. We were somebody else, someplace else, doing something different. That's very common. And some people never change that way of thinking. They take this to their grave. They live their whole life in resentment about the way their life is. They wish things were different. They had different parents, or their children were different children, or they lived in a different neighborhood or made more money, or whatever it might be. They spent so much energy resisting and resenting what is that they miss the most glorious of all opportunities, and that's to embrace their circumstances and then create the most they can with them. And finding the joy of taking what is and making it different. Here's the truth. We are made to want more. We're made to. It becomes destructive when we want more of what somebody else has. Everybody got that? We covet somebody else's circumstances. That's when it becomes dangerous. When we are committed to embracing our clay, our circumstances, and then creating the most we can with it, we're absolutely in God's playground. The unknown author says that the life we've been given is God's gift to us. What we do with that life is our gift to Him. True statement. It's been my experience that when I'm in the space of truly being grateful, grateful meaning that I am embracing my clay, I'm choosing my clay. I choose me. and then creating the most I can with it, because gratitude takes both parts. It's not just going, okay, this is all I'm going to ever be, blah, 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 blah. That's not gratitude. Gratitude is embracing so that we can use this to absolutely create the most we can with it. That is ultimate gratitude. Creating the most we can with what we've been given. The most we can. And when we do that, it's been my experience and witness that we're given more. We're given more. People are put in our life. Opportunities come that otherwise wouldn't have been there. We find out that we've got far more capacity than we imagine. And when we spend time with this clay, we find natural gifts we were ignoring or undervaluing. Some beautiful natural gifts. One of the most common is the ability to have accurate intuition and empathy. We're so focused on frustration about our circumstances that we're not fully present to use our gift in connection and loving other people. One of the most common natural gifts. However, when we embrace our clay and we're using it to create the most we can, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? We open up the door to magnificent gifts. Magnificent gifts. That's the promise. So we're going to want to own our own clay. When we look at this joy in the journey, and we look at the measurements, if you've got your assessment handy, the first measurement is grateful. Now remember, this is just a thought process. We can step back from it, and we can be deeply grateful for our life and relationships, our circumstances. We can be grateful. This thought process just wants us to have this initial response when we step into reality and it's different the way our mind would like it to be. And we go, ugh. We just go, ugh. When that turns orange or red, we're just going, ugh. By now, I thought it would be easier. By now, I thought I'd be further ahead. The point is, we are exactly where we are, and as importantly, we're exactly where we're supposed to be. For this moment in our life, the lessons we are to learn, we're exactly where we're supposed to be, not where we're supposed to stay, where we're supposed to be. Now we focus on taking the circumstance. We learn from it. We show up in it. We use it to bless the lives of others. We create the most we can with it. And we begin to experience joy because we're spending time with our true self in the magnification of our natural gifts. That way, grateful can turn green or blue because we're not continually living in resistance and resentment because life keeps showing up differently than our mind has seen it. We have seen possibility, but we're excited to come into tangible reality and take the assets we have and create the most we can with them. Our focus has shifted from holding life hostage to a fantasy to using what we have to create our goals. That shift is so foundational to success. That's grateful. Persistent when it starts to turn orange. Most of the time, we've got a financial challenge, and the money is starting to be a preoccupation. Well, we need to pay this or we need to pay that. We start doing things just to generate money. And generally, when we get into that space, we make some bad decisions. It's not healthy. Now, money's important. It takes money to make the world go around. There's no question about that. But we serve first and solve problems for others, and in so doing, we do make money. But when money's the focus, we often burn people. So be very careful with that measurement. Effective. When this starts to turn orange and red, it's a very simple concept. We're having a challenge reconciling vision in our mind where we can create a Learjet in a nanosecond, poof, and linear time, tick, 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 where everything has to be created line upon line, precept upon precept. The difference between linear time and what we see in our mind, that's a terrible conflict. It can leave us frenetic, like busy, busy, busy. Frenetic, non-goal-directed activities, like a chicken with its head cut off, a dog chasing its tail. We're running around, because what we're trying to do is figure out how to create today what our mind has already seen. Just take a look at effective and see if that's the case, because we'll want to live in linear time, being as focused and deliberate and intentional as we can be, because that will create as fast as creation can occur. Then we can go to bed at night knowing we've done all that we can do. We can be at peace. When we're in that frenetic state, we can't be. Realistic just says, I have seen the other rim of the canyon. I'm standing on this rim of the canyon, and I can't figure out how to build a bridge from here to there. Most of the time, it's because my mind keeps wanting to be over there. It takes time to build. So when realistic starts to turn red or orange, I just can't figure out how to build this bridge because I'm not focused on creation. I'm focused on the other side. I want to be over there. Diligent is a measurement that asks, is there anything that's in the way of me actually doing that creation? And most of the time when this measurement's orange is because there are things in our life that are in the way. And sometimes we are allowing those things to happen. We might have, for an example, our physical condition, the food that we're eating, the cleanliness of the place in which we live. We allow those kinds of things to get in our way of being productive. They slow us down. So just take a look and see if there's anything in your life that fits that category. And vigilant. When this turns orange, we're going beyond the mark. We just have this burning feeling inside. We're supposed to be doing something really important. And while we're thinking about this, really important things are walking right by us. Sometimes the most important. For parents, it could be our own children. We want to go save the world. And we fail to save our own children. We don't want to miss the mark by having our thought processes out of balance. So just take a look at your assessment and see if those pieces are there. And we would start and ask you tonight to make an inventory of your life. Make a very thorough inventory of your life, both challenges and strengths. I can promise you probably won't notice all of your strengths initially because we have a tendency to be focused on what's wrong. And take a look at that list. Make the decision tonight to choose you. It's really the only choice we have because it's either choose this, embrace it, and create the most we can with it, or it's living in resentment, which creates nothing. That's your first homework assignment. Take a complete inventory of your life and then own you. I own me. I own my circumstances. What happened to me as a child? What happened to me as a teenager? What I might have done to somebody else? A business failure, a marriage that failed, a child that went wayward. I'm just going to own all that. That's experiences that I have that have uniquely prepared me for this moment in time. I'm going to take all these things in my clay and use them to create something magnificent. That would be the first thing. The second thing is this. I have an opportunity on Thursday morning to speak to 120 CEOs, and the topic is weathering the storm. Weathering the storm. Oh, I love that topic. It's one I absolutely know, because there are many times I consciously have to stop and say, no, I'm not going to go there. Worrying, fear, doubt, whatever it might be, staying in creation. I'm going to mentally rehearse. I'm going to explore. I'm going to seek inspiration, going to problem solve, plan, goal set, so that I can get inspired ideas that ignite my passion and drive my actions. Stay in creation. Your second homework assignment is to take a look at the challenges you're currently facing. Just take a look at them. And ask yourself, is this the first time I've had this experience? Is this a repeat performance? Am I playing out something all over again? And if so, what did I not learn the first time that I will absolutely want to learn this time, so I don't have to repeat this a third time? What can I learn from this? If you'll take your current challenges, and we all have them. I'll close with this in just a moment. We will want to take a look at these challenges and see them differently. See them for what they truly are. A friend shared this with me the other day. I'd heard it, but I finally looked up. It's called The Trouble Pile. I'd like to read this to you. It's a poem. This is a true principle. Now, it's kind of interesting colloquial conversation, so bear with me as I read it. It's called The Trouble Pile by Wayne Bullock. Where do you go today, old man, with that great load there on your back? The man just grumbled as he hobbled along, holding tight to his bulging sack. Hey, say, old man, cried the boy again, do you carry a sack of gold? Nay, lad, the man whispered, 'tis just troubles. That's all I hold. This sack I've carried all my life, each trouble, I've had it here. They've grown till now my back grows bent with every passing year. There's grief and pain, there's hurt and woe, there's trials and sins galore. But I'm going now to the trouble pile, and I won't pack these no more. The boy looked up with a troubled glance. Tell me, what's the trouble pile? I'd like to know, and while we talk, can we sit and rest a while? I lack the time, the old man said. I've got to rush along. I want to get to the trouble pile, for the little troubles are gone. You see, it's a place where you can go and to trade troubles, great and small. You can leave yours there and pick new ones up. Why, I'd trade till I got none at all. The boy glanced down at his twisted leg, and he blinked to hold back a tear. Could I trade this leg for a good one, he asked, if the trouble pile was here? Of course you could, the old man was gruff. But there's still a long way to go, and I've got to hurry, or I'll be late. And crippled, you'd be too slow. So the boy sat down and watched the man disappear in the morning light. The hours wore on, and still he watched as the day moved on to night. At last, there in the distance, the old man walked tall and strong, a bulging sack still on his back, but on his lips a song. Well, I see you traded, mister, and lost your heavy load. His little voice grew wistful as he looked back down the road. The old man grinned and tossed his bag with a loud thud on the dusty track. And he smiled a smile at the little boy as he sat and leaned lazily back. Now I'll tell you, lad, though you'd not believe, but the sack is the same I had. When I saw the trouble of other folks, I found mine not half so bad. Sure, I've hardly got a trouble now. And I'll tell you something, too. If you could see that trouble pile, you'd keep that bad leg, too. Because I've done a bit of thinking as I walked along the way. And if we worked hard on that leg of yours, it would grow straight and strong to stay. Now, I've really nothing much to do, and a crutch I could make for a start. Then he hugged the boy to hide a tear and the joy in an old man's heart. So the boy and the man worked together from morning to late, last light of day, and the twisted leg finally was straightened, and the boy could soon run and play. It was then the old man knew he must leave, and again he shouldered his sack. But no longer did it bulge with his troubles, just hung there, loose on his back. For while he was helping another, his own troubles faded away. He had truly found the trouble pile. It's there, if you look for the way. Now, you know the Chicago dream that I had where we empty the sack and put it in our heart so we can use our life experiences to better serve another. And when we do, and their walls come down and cooperation floods out, we receive joy unspeakable. Because if we went to the trouble pile, which I have the privilege of doing many times a day with clients, I'll keep mine. And I think you'd probably keep yours too. So let's take a look as our second homework assignment at what we've got in that sack we're dragging around. And ask ourselves, what could we learn from these experiences? How could we use those experiences to more effectively serve another? Because it's in that transition that we find joy in the journey. So let us own our clay. Make that inventory and own our clay. Let us take a look at our current challenges, the ones we're facing right now, and perhaps look at them differently. Now we've got just a few moments before we wrap up for this evening. Is there anyone that I can serve tonight on this or any other topic? Okay, well, I want to thank you for being here tonight. Let's take those two homework assignments and take them on with all seriousness. A great scroll to study this week would be scroll number 3. I'll persist until I succeed. I'm here for a purpose. Let's get past those challenges. Keep our eye on the goal above our head and ignore the obstacles at our feet, knowing that where dry desert ends, green grass grows, because it does grow when we are willing to persist long enough. Let us learn our skills as the mariner learns his by riding out the wrath of the storm. If you're in a storm right now, let us focus on what can I learn? How could I hone my skills? How could this prepare me? Because the day will come, if you look at it that way, you'll know. And that's a joyous day, too. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and we will be back with you next Tuesday evening to take on self-esteem. We have come back to home again, so let's take on self-esteem next week. Look forward to being with you then. Come off of mute and just say goodnight, if you would, please.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
And thank you, Mona.
I will say hi to her. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Hey, Dave, this is Roger. How are you? No, gone.